Life in the Deserts by Lucy Baker. Page 4, Looking at Deserts. There are places where rain hardly ever falls and few plants can survive, where the sun scorches the earth and strong winds whip sand and dust from the ground. These places are called deserts. But not all deserts are areas of shifting sands and intense heat. In fact, rock and gravel cover the greater part of most deserts. Some deserts, such as the Gobi Desert in Asia, are actually cold for most of the year. Other deserts are blisteringly hot during the day, but temperatures drop dramatically during the night. A surprising variety of plant and animal life struggles to survive the harsh conditions of the desert, and many people call it their home. Did you know? The scientific definition of a desert is a place that has very little vegetation and receives less than 25 centimeters or 10 inches of rain each year. This means that the landmass at the South Pole could be called a desert because it receives only a few inches of rain each year. The water does not fall as rain, however, but snow. On this page, there are two pictures. On the lower left, the caption reads, Death Valley, California is the hottest, driest area of the United States. Bottom right, a boulder-strewn part of the Namib Desert shows signs of life after a good year's rainfall. And the caption for the facing page reads, Some of the highest sand dunes in the world can be found in the Namib Desert in southern Africa. Sand dunes are not fixed features of the desert. They are mobile mounds of sand which are shaped by the wind. Page 6, Where in the World? Deserts cover about one-fifth of all the land in the world. There are deserts in parts of Africa, Asia, Australia, and North and South America. Most deserts lie along two imaginary lines, north and south of the equator, called the Tropic of Cancer and the Tropic of Capricorn. Here and in other desert regions, dry air currents blow across the land. These dry air currents can blow hot or cold, but they rarely carry rain clouds. Consequently, the lands they cross are starved of rain and given no protection from the sun. This map shows the main areas of the world. Do you live near desert lands? And there is a map on the bottom of page 6 pointing out the many different deserts in the world. Page 7. Rain shadows. Some deserts are called rain shadow deserts. These occur where large mountains block the path of rain-bearing wind. The raised mountain ground pushes the wind upwards, and as it rises, it cools. The drop in temperature causes clouds carried by the wind to burst and release their rain. The wind continues over the mountains, but by the time it reaches the other side, it carries no rain clouds. This natural process creates some of the world's wettest environments, rainforests, along with the world's driest. Here are some facts. The Sahara Desert in northern Africa is the largest desert in the world. It covers an area the size of the United States. The Gobi Desert in eastern Asia is situated on high windy plains. It is the coldest desert in the world. Nearly half of Australia is covered by desert. The Arabian Desert is the sandiest desert in the world. The smallest desert regions of the world are the Peruvian and the Atacama Deserts on the western coast of South America. Many of the world's deserts are bordered by areas of scant vegetation. These scrublands can become true deserts if they lose their native trees and plants. And the caption accompanying the picture on this page, page 7, reads, "Ancient rock paintings in African and Asian deserts show giraffes, antelopes, and other grazing animals that could not survive in today's desert conditions. This suggests that the lands were once more fertile. Evidence of the ancient lakes and forests can also be found in the world's deserts." Page 8, Desert Plants. It is astonishing that any plants have learned to survive in desert conditions. Most plants rely on regular rainfall, but desert plants may have to go without fresh water for over a year. As well as this, many desert plants have to cope with both hot and cold temperatures as each boiling day turns into another freezing night. Some desert plants remain hidden in the ground as seeds until rain falls. By waiting until conditions are good, they do not have to cope with the rigors of desert life. The two pictures on this page have the following captions. This is the picture on the top left. Cacti are the most famous desert plants. They are native to North and South American deserts, but they have been introduced to other parts of the world. Prickly pear cacti were taken to Australia and planted as hedges around homes in the outback. They grew so quickly that large areas were overrun by the spiky plants. Small creatures that eat the prickly pear's soft insides had to be introduced to Australia to help reclaim the land. The other picture, bottom right, has this caption. The gigantic Welwitschia plant is unique to the Na'ib Desert. This desert has a rare water source. Fogs that drift across it from the coast. The Welwitschia's leaves absorb tiny particles of water from the froggy air. Page 9, the caption that goes with the picture on the top part of this page reads, "Cacti are flowering plants. Some cacti produce flowers every year, while others rarely come into blossom. Birds visit cacti to extract sugary nectar from their flowers or search their stems for insects. The cactus in this picture is a giant saguaro. Saguaro cacti can grow up to 15 meters, that's nearly 50 feet in height, and may hold several tons of water in their swollen stems. Like other cacti, the saguaro has no leaves. Instead, prickly spines grow around its stem. These spines create a layer of still air around the surface of the plant and so protects it from the drying winds." Survival tricks. Desert plants have special ways of surviving without regular rainfall. Some suck up as much water as they can during occasional rains and then store it in their stems or leaves. Here are some other ways that desert plants collect and conserve water. Some desert trees have long taproots, which grow deep into the ground to reach underground water sources. Many plants, like the creosote bush, have a vast network of shallow roots to extract every available drop of moisture from their patch of the desert. Some desert plants store water and food underground in thickened roots, bulbs, or tubers. The stems of such plants, exposed to sun and wind, may look dead, but as soon as it rains, they spring into life, producing leaves, fruits, and flowers. Hidden life. It is difficult to believe that hundreds of different animals live in deserts. Most of the time, these are quiet, still places. This is because many desert creatures move around only at dawn or dusk. At other times of the day, they burrow underground or hide beneath rocks or plants to avoid very hot or cold conditions. The animals living in the desert rely on plant life and on each other for their survival. Roots, stems, leaves, and seeds form the basic diet of many desert creatures, and they in turn are hunted by other animals. The largest hunters in the desert include wildcats, foxes, and wolves. Some desert creatures get all the water they need from the food they eat. Others have to travel long distances to visit rare water holes. The two pictures on this page have the following captions. For the top picture, scorpions hunt spiders, insects, and other small animals on the desert floor. Once they have caught their meal, they use the poisonous stings at the end of their tails to kill their prey. People stung by a scorpion usually suffer a sharp pain, but the most powerful scorpion stings can be deadly. Bottom picture has this caption: many reptiles are successful desert dwellers, especially snakes and lizards. Some snakes have a special way of moving across shifting sands. They throw their head to one side and their body follows in a loop. This is called sidewinding. Snakes can also burrow into the sand to cool down or escape from predators. The two pictures on page 11 have these captions for the top picture. Rabbits, gerbils, and many other small mammals live in desert lands. The cottontail rabbit at the right can be found in some American deserts. It has large ears that act as radiators, giving off heat and so helping the rabbit to cool down. The caption for the bottom picture: many lizards live in the world's deserts. Like other reptiles, they have a scaly skin that stops them from drying up in the baking sunshine. Most lizards are insect eaters. They chase flies or sit patiently waiting for a beetle or a line of ants to pass them by. Lizards have many enemies, so they must stay on their guard. The horned lizard, below, has excellent camouflage that makes it hard to find on the desert floor. Crossing the desert. The largest desert animals do not remain in one area of the desert. They travel long distances in search of food and water. Small numbers of antelopes, goats, and sheep are found in most deserts of the world. A rare horse called Przewalski's horse once roamed the Cold Gobi Desert, but it is now thought to be extinct in the wild. The most famous animal to cross the desert is the camel. The camel is sometimes called the ship of the desert, because it can travel over vast seas of inhospitable rock and sand better than any other animal. There are two kinds of camels. The dromedary has one hump on its back and a thin coat. It is native to the hot deserts of Arabia and North Africa, but it has been introduced also to parts of America and Australia. The Bactrian camel has two humps and a darker, thicker coat than its cousin. It comes from the cooler Central Asian deserts. Camels are well built for desert life. They have bushy eyebrows and two rows of eyelashes to help keep the sand out of their eyes. Their slit nostrils can be closed for the same reason. Their two-toed feet spread out as they walk and stop them from sinking into the sand. The humps on the camel's backs do not contain water as once believed, but hold fat reserves that can be broken down into food when camels are crossing the desert. If a camel is starving, its hump will shrink. Did you know? Less than 100 years ago, it was impossible to cross the vast Saharan and Arabian deserts without the help of a camel. Today, trucks and cars are used for many desert journeys, and camels are becoming less important to the lives of desert people. Thirsty camels can drink up to 140 liters, that's 30 gallons of water, in one sitting, and then go for a week without water. Camels are the domestic animals of the desert. They are used as a form of transportation. They provide meat and milk for food. Their hairy coats are woven into cloth. Even the camel's dry droppings are used as fuel for cooking fires. Page 14, when water falls. Some deserts have regular rainy seasons, but others may not see rain for many years. In the desert, there are only torrential downpours. Violent desert rainstorms cause flash floods and destructions. Plants are washed away, and some animals drown. Rains bring life as well as death to desert lands. Days after a heavy storm, billions of tiny seeds spring to life on the desert floor. These small flowering plants, called ephemerals, have been hiding in the sand since the last rainfall. Millions of insect eggs are also brought to life by the drumming rain, and so an army of flies, bees, and wasps appears. These insects feed on the ephemerals and help them to reproduce by spreading pollen from flower to flower. 8 weeks after the rains, the desert is empty again. The colorful flowers and buzzing insects have gone, but billions and billions of new seeds and eggs now lie hidden in the desert sands. Many of them will be eaten by permanent desert dwellers, but some are bound to survive until the next rains come and the life cycle can be repeated. Did you know that sometimes rainstorms fail to wet the desert floor? If it is very hot when a storm occurs, the rain may turn into vapor before it reaches the ground. Over 30 centimeters, that's 12 inches, of rain may fall during one heavy storm in the desert. The Atacama Desert is the driest in the world. Some parts of it experienced a 400-year drought up to 1971. The picture on page 14 has the caption, "Colorful flowering plants brighten up the sandy Arabian desert after a recent rainfall." And on the facing page, there is a caption for the picture. It reads, "Lightning strikes as a storm passes over the Sonoran Desert in North America. A whole year's rainfall can come in one single cloudburst." Page 16, Desert People. "The desert is a dangerous place for people unused to its hostile conditions. Even so, a few people call the open desert home. The Bushmen of the Kalahari Desert in southern Africa are nomads, which means they travel from place to place. Bushmen survive by hunting wild game and gathering edible plants and insects. Some Aborigines once lived this way in the heart of Australia's desert lands, but most are now settled in government-funded camps. The world's most barren deserts, such as the Sahara, Arabian, and Gobi deserts, do not have enough native plants and animals to support hunter-gatherers. Instead, the nomadic people take from the desert what they can, but also kill or trade animals such as goats, sheep, or camels for food." People facts. The turban worn by many desert people is not a hat. It is a very long piece of cloth that is wrapped around and around the head. It helps keep desert sand out of the eyes, nose, and mouth. Bushmen rarely drink. They get most of their water requirements from plant roots and desert melons found on or under the desert floor. People in the cold Gobi Desert live in sturdy round huts called yurts. These simple homes can withstand winds up to 145 kilometers or 90 miles an hour. There's a picture also on the top of this page. This is page 16 that has the caption. "A bushman of the Kalahari makes a fire by rubbing two sticks together. Bushmen have their own special language that includes clicking sounds. The bushmen live in huts built from local materials. The frame is made of branches and the roof is thatched with long grass." The picture on the top of page 17 has this caption. "These men belong to a group of people called the Tuareg. The Tuareg were once known as the pirates of the desert. For many years, they controlled trade across the Sahara by patrolling the desert on racing camels." And the picture on the bottom has the caption, "Many desert nomads live in tents, like the one in this picture. When it is time to move on, the tent is picked up and carried by a camel or by a donkey." Page 18, Desert Oasis. "In parts of the desert, plants grow in abundance and water is available throughout the year. These places are called oases. Most oases are fed by underground pools of water that were formed over thousands of years. The water is trapped between layers of rock below the desert floor. Rivers also create oases. The largest oasis in the world lies along the banks of the great river Nile, which flows through the Sahara. Oases are the most densely populated areas of the desert. The regular water supply makes it possible for people to permanently settle and to build villages, towns, or cities. The land is irrigated, and date palms, olives, wheat, millet, and other food crops are grown." The picture on the top of this page has the caption, If seasonal rains fail, water must be carried to the fields to keep the desert crops alive. And the picture on the bottom of this page, going across to page 19, has the caption, "Oases are like green islands surrounded by a sea of sand and rock. Animals and people alike depend on oases for their drinking water. Oases do not last forever. The world's deserts are littered with ghost towns, where the water has run dry or the oasis has been swamped by shifting sand dunes and the people have moved on." The picture on the right side of this page has the caption, "Many desert towns are built from materials of the desert itself. Mud is mixed with straw and water to make bricks, which are then baked in the sun. This village is the home of the Dogon. The Dogon people get their water from nearby mountain pools. The Dogons live in Mali, which is in northern Africa." Creeping deserts. The world's deserts are growing through a process known as desertification. Scrub and grasslands become as dry and barren as the deserts they border. At the present rate of desertification, over 200,000 kilometers, that's squared, or 77,220 square miles of new desert land throughout the world is created every year. Deserts naturally shrink and grow depending on the amount of rain they receive. In recent years, however, widespread droughts have caused deserts to grow at an alarming rate. Scientists believe the droughts are part of a worldwide change in weather patterns caused by pollution in the atmosphere. Desert nomads speed up the process of desertification by cutting down trees and grazing their animals on threatened grasslands. This leaves the land exposed to sun, wind, and occasional violent rains. The delicate topsoil dries out, then is blown and washed away. Intensive farming can also cause desertification. The pressure to grow more and more food on the same amount of land encourages farmers to overwork the soil, but this can have disastrous consequences. In the 1930s, intensive farming and grazing in America's southern states created a huge area of bare and desert-like land called the Dust Bowl. Droughts had dried up the soil, and winds then carried it away. Cities hundreds of miles away were plunged into darkness as huge clouds of dust blew across the sky. Did you know? Over 400 million tons of African soil is blown west over the Atlantic Ocean every year. In 1988, hundreds of tiny pink Saharan frogs rained down on a British village during a bad storm. And the picture that spans of these two pages on the bottom has the caption, "If the ground cover is removed from dry scrublands, the hot sun bakes the earth. Rains run straight off the hard ground, and any remaining trees weaken and die." Page 22, Deserts Today. For centuries, the world's deserts were regarded as terrifying wastelands. They remained the exclusive property of small desert tribes who managed to survive in hostile conditions. Only recently has the arrival of cars, trucks, and airplanes opened the doors on desert exploration. Today, industries are active in the desert. Mining companies use massive machinery to extract rich mineral reserves such as copper, iron, salt, and uranium. Oil is also found in some deserts and has brought great wealth to certain areas, to certain states. Saudi Arabia holds some of the world's largest oil fields. Elsewhere, modern technology has been used to turn the desert green. By funding new underground water sources or by tapping nearby rivers, crops can be grown on desert lands. Desertification is a problem in many areas of the world, but Africa is the most obvious victim. In some African countries, crops have failed for several years running and cause widespread famine. Many nomads have cast off their ancient way of life as lengthy droughts have left the desert bare. There's a picture on this page, page 22, with the caption, "As rich countries transform their deserts into farmland, poorer African countries try to hold back the creeping edge of the Sahara. This man is building simple rock walls to prevent the seasonal rains from running straight off the hard ground." And did you know? Today, arid lands produce one-fifth of the world's food supplies. By 2000, one-third of all farmland may be desert if the soil is overworked. Pictures taken from space can locate hidden water pools under the desert floor. Modern drilling equipment can then reach the water to create new oases. Page 23 has a picture on the top with the caption, "Oil flares send smoke plumes into desert air." And the picture on the bottom has the caption, "Plastic tunnels cover healthy desert crops. The tunnels prevent precious water from evaporating into the dry desert air. Continual evaporation may encourage salts to rise to the surface of the desert. These salts kill most plant life and effectively poison the soil." Jealous Gumbel Guban. For thousands of years, people have told stories about the world around them. Often these stories try to explain something that people do not really understand, like how the world began or where light comes from. This tale is told by the Aboriginal people of Australia. Long ago in Australia was the dream time when everything was made. The land was made with mountains, plains, and valleys full of all sorts of animals, birds, and plants. And the sea was made full of whales, dolphins, and plants. But there were not yet any fish. All the birds had been given wonderful and extraordinary voices. Crow croaked his rasping caw. Kookaburra laughed her hilarious chuckle, and the other birds sang in all their different voices. They sat singing in the trees and bushes all day long because they were so happy. When I say that they all had wonderful and extraordinary voices, I am forgetting Gumbel Guban, the turkey. Gumbel Guban could only make a low bubbling noise in his throat, which sounded like this, Gumbel Guban, Gumbel Guban. Like all the other birds thought Gumbel Guban's voice was a great joke, and they sang even more beautifully when he was around, just to tease him. Of course, they didn't really mean to be cruel. They were all so happy themselves that they did not realize how much they were hurting poor Gumbel Reuben's feelings. They were very fond of him in spite of his bad temper's ways. Gumbo Reuben did not find his voice funny. He thought it was terrible, and he was very jealous of all the other bird voices. He tried everything he could to improve his voice, but nothing was of any use. If only the other birds' voices were not so wonderful and extraordinary, his voice would not seem so terrible, he thought. One day was worse than ever before. The other birds had been laughing at Gumbo Reuben all morning, and he was tired of it. So he went off to visit his friend Lizard. Lizard never laughed at his voice. The two of them sat talking and telling stories until the sun began to set. Just then, Kookaburra flew into the branches of a nearby tree and began to laugh. Now, Kookaburra could not help laughing. She laughed at everything, even at things that were not at all funny. And Gumbo Reuben should have known this, really. But he was fed up with being teased by all the other birds, and so he thought that Kookaburra had flown over and perched on that very branch just to laugh at him. "What do you think you're laughing at?" he snapped angrily. Kookaburra looked most surprised and flew off to tell the other birds about Gumbo Goomba's strange behavior. Meanwhile, Gumbo Goomba made up his mind to put a stop to all the other birds teasing him once and for all. He waited until it was dark and all of the birds were asleep in the trees. Then, very quietly, he went to the magic burning tree. This was a tree where men took their fire sticks to fetch fire for food, warmth, and light for their camps. Gumbo Reuben picked up a stick from the ground and lit it from the tree. Then he crept around to all the trees and bushes where the birds were sleeping and set the bottom branches alight. "That should get rid of those nasty laughing birds," he thought to himself gleefully, "and now I'll have the most beautiful voice of all." However, Kookaburra was not asleep. She heard Gumbo Reuben creeping around beneath the trees and woke the other birds to warn them. A great swarm of birds rose up from the trees, screeching and crying. The birds who could fly fast flew away as quickly as they could to far-off places where there was no fire. Those who could not fly fast enough to get away from the flames flew into the sea to cool off. As they entered the water, their wings turned into fins, and their feathers became scales. At last, there were fish in the sea. Gumbo Reuben was furious that his plan had not worked. He waved the fire stick wildly, but only managed to singe his own feathers a nasty smoky color and burn his head bright red. Two. He flew the fire stick far into the bush. The fire in the trees went on burning until the land in the center of Australia was quite barren or dry and dry, and that is how the desert came to be in the center of Australia, all because of jealous Gumbo Reuben. The next page has some true or false question. Which of these facts are true and which are false? If you have read this book carefully, you will know the answers. Number one, all deserts are very hot. Two, deserts receive no rain at all during the year. Three, the Gobi Desert is the largest desert in the world. Four, Nights in the desert are extremely cold. 5. Lush rainforests can lie alongside rain-shadowed deserts. 6. Saguaro cacti can grow up to 15 meters, close to 500 feet high. 7. The ears of the American cottontail rabbit act as radiators. 8. A camel's humps are used to store water. 9. The dromedary has 2 humps and a thick coat. 10. The Tuareg were once known as the pirates of the desert. 11. Many desert towns are built from mud bricks. And 12. In 1988, thousands of large blue fish rained down on a British village during a bad storm. Pages 30 and 31 have the glossary, starting on page 30. Arid means land is parched soil with sparse vegetation where little rain falls. This type of land is prone to desertification. Next, bushmen are people who live in desert lands such as in Africa or Australia. They drink little as they obtain enough moisture from eating underground roots and desert melons. A desert is a place with very little vegetation where less than 25 centimeters or 10 inches of rain falls each year. Desertification is the process by which dry areas of land on the edge of deserts suffer from drought and also become desert. If regular rainfall returns to the area, the new region of desert may still recover. Domesticated animals are those which have been bred by humans over many generations to be tame and to provide products such as meat, milk, leather, and wool. Drought is a period when very little or no rain falls. Crops do not grow, water is scarce, and the animals and humans find it hard to survive. Ephemerals are tiny plants which survive as seeds in dry conditions, such as desert sands. They wait until a period of heavy rain and then burst into flower. Evaporation is the turning of water into tiny droplets of vapor suspended in the air. This process happens each morning in the hot desert air to the dew that has fallen during the night. Extinct animals or plants are those where the last member of a species has died out after overhunting, a change in the habitat, or failure to compete with a newly arrived animal. Famine is a period when food is scarce and many people and animals starve and die. This usually takes place after wartime or a drought when crops have been unable to grow. Fertile is the adjective to describe land that is good for growing lush and healthy crops. Hunter-gatherers are people who live off the land by harvesting food from the plants and animals that naturally live there. They are skillful in taking only what the land can spare. Irrigation is the method by which farmers artificially water land that naturally tends to be dry. Water is often channeled over land through ditches or retained on land with a hard, resistant surface by building low walls. Nomads are people who travel from one area to another, either to take their herds of animals to fresh grazing or to escape severe weather, such as cold or drought. They feed mainly on products from their herds and live in tents, which can easily be packed up and carried on the next journey. Scrubland is territory where vegetation grows low and stunted. Taproots are long, thin roots that push their way through the layers of stone beneath the sand to help some desert trees to find moisture during the long periods of drought. Topsoil is the uppermost and richest layer of earth where most plants grow. The desert lacks topsoil, which has dried out with the lack of rain and been blown away. Tubers are short, thick parts of underground stems of certain plants. They are covered in bud-like bumps. Tropic of Cancer, Tropic of Capricorn are imaginary lines at about 23 degrees 27 inches north and south of the equator. Deserts are found mostly along these two lines.